This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. The 2004 Booker Prize will be awarded this Tuesday, and David Mitchell's latest novel, Cloud Atlas, is arguably the favorite to win. Cloud Atlas is a novel of grand themes laid out within an experimental structure, a literary stunt most critics feel strengthens the narrative. Martha Woodruff from member station WMRA has this report.
Cloud Atlas is made up of six novellas that together arc across time from the past well into the future. Mitchell's structural innovation is that each novella, except the one in the center, stops abruptly mid-story and then later starts up again in reverse sequence. This is meant to echo Mitchell's concept of the structure of time as an infinite series of Russian dolls.
The present moment is contained within the past moment. The future moment is contained within the present moment. The future moment is contained within the future moment, and so on, all the way until the end of time.
David Mitchell has enough confidence in his structure to have one of his characters talk about it, albeit modestly disguised as a composer's musings about a piece of music. Robert Frobisher is a decadent, bisexual British composer, excited about his latest boundary-busting musical composition.
Spent the fortnight gone in the music room, reworking my year's fragments into a sextet for overlapping soloists. Piano, clarinet, cello, flute, oboe and violin, each in its own language of key, scale and colour. In the first set, each solo is interrupted by its successor. In the second, each interruption is recontinued in order. Revolutionary or gimmicky? Shan't know until it's finished, and by then it'll be too late.
Critics on both sides of the Atlantic have rushed to answer this very question.
The thing that makes any stunt worth watching is that it's dangerous, and there's a high probability of failure and disaster. And that's why we're curious about stunts of all kinds, whether they're Evel Knievel stunts or literary stunts.
Jeff Turrentine is a Washington Post staff writer who reviewed Cloud Atlas for the Post's Book World.
This isn't a gimmick here. This is a formal innovation. It's deliberate, it's conscious, and it works very well.
Theo Tate begins his review of Cloud Atlas in Great Britain's Telegraph with the respectfully ambivalent declaration, David Mitchell is an alarmingly versatile writer. Speaking on the telephone from London, Tate elaborates.
It is very impressive that anybody can write six different individual pieces in such differing styles and to, you know, briefly create these fictional worlds, which I thought was very impressive. But I sort of wonder whether the energy was being sent in the right direction.
So is Mitchell brilliant, or is he showing off? It's a complicated question anyone who reads Cloud Atlas might ask. David Mitchell himself has ideas about how his structure strengthens the narrative drive of his novel.
One thing I hope is that it unifies and binds the book in a way that six chronologically ordered novellas would not. The other is that I hope that the structure marries the theme in a harmonious way, by which I mean, in the same way the book is about groups consuming other groups, the novellas also kind of consume each other and then sort of spit each other out on the way out of the book from the centre as we journey back from the future into the past.
Of course, there is more to consider about Cloud Atlas than its structure. There's the writing as well. David Mitchell's dauntingly fertile mind and imagination run riot in Cloud Atlas. It's a novel about the end of the world. Irredeemably heavy stuff? Not at all. Cloud Atlas is often very funny indeed. Here's Mitchell reading from The Ghastly Ordeal of Timothy Cavendish, a novella set in the 1980s. Cavendish becomes incarcerated in an old folks' rest home. At one point, Veronica, one of his fellow inmates, initiates him into the way the rest of the world views old people.
We, by whom I mean anyone over 60, commit two offences just by existing. One is lack of velocity. We drive too slowly, walk too slowly, talk too slowly. The world will do business with dictators, perverts, drug barons of all stripes, but being slowed down it cannot abide. Our second offence is being every man's memento mori. The world can only get comfy in shiny-eyed denial if we are out of sight.
Such amusing moments aside, however, Mitchell's novel delivers a grim assessment of humanity's chief motivator.
What drives humanity? Well, a lot of the time, greed and self-interest drives humanity.
Each novella makes this point on its own. And the novellas are written in many different narrative styles. There's a journal, an airport noir novel, personal letters, a dialogue, and a simple yarn. This potpourri of styles, in London critic Theo Tate's eyes, actually limits story development.
Basically, it tries to shoehorn in a great deal into these sort of tight little generic pieces, and it spends quite a lot of time trying to be clever, but at the same time, it's also trying to talk about the end of the world and where we're going, where the globe is going in general. I suppose I felt that it spent half its time wanting to be The Simpsons and the other half wanting to be the Bible, and that's actually quite a difficult trick to pull off, even for a very talented writer.
Today, you really kind of have to be both the Bible and The Simpsons if you want to do your job of reaching as many people as possible.
Jeff Turrentine of The Washington Post.
The themes of this book are so large that the form really is almost required. And when you come across a novel where the form and the theme are seamlessly intertwined as these two are, you've got something really good on your hands. I do have to give David Mitchell credit for being willing to push the envelope formally and come up with a new way of telling a story that really probably couldn't be told otherwise.
Critics do agree that Cloud Atlas is a remarkable book. As to whether its innovative structure drives the narrative to greater reach or pulls on its reins, that, gentle reader, is something you and I must decide for ourselves. In the end, all that matters is that if you like to read fiction, this novel is worth reading. For NPR News, I'm Martha Woodruff.